Welcome to those worshiping online, Facebook Live. Isn't this amazing? Are you guys fired up to hear from these guys right now? This is a special night. We got something. We have something special cooking for you. This is week four of our Staying in Love series. And from the beginning of planning for this series, we thought week four is we're going to do something special. We're going to have a panel of married couples, and we're going to receive questions from you. And it mostly came in from you through our website and through Facebook, Instagram, social media. Then we had a creative team that put some questions together too. And let me just give you a background about how this panel came together. I've done panel discussions like this many times over the last many years of marriage. And every time we've done them, we've usually had a combination of like a newlywed couple, a couple married for like 2 years, a couple that's married 5 to 10, a couple that's married 20, 25 years, and then a couple that's been married 50 or 60 years. And so we've got like the swath of the married life represented on the stage. And that is not what we have today, and there's a reason why. As we started to think and pray about this, we were processing as a group, and we realized when we have these panel discussions, everybody kind of focuses their attention and leans in and just wants to hear from the couples who've been married a long time. And so we thought, why don't we just fill this stage with couples who've been married a long time so that you and I, and I've only been married 18 years, I'm going to be taking notes like this. You guys have these. I'm going to be moderating the discussion up here, but I encourage you to take notes. If you're a married couple of any age or life stage, I encourage you to take notes because these men and women will be dripping with wisdom and morsels from their failures and their triumphs of their entire married life. And if there's any singles or students in our midst, you should be taking the best notes because you can learn so much from these people. Now, you want to meet our esteemed panel? Okay. So to my left, oh no, we're starting over here. Sorry, we're starting with the minors. And these are the most tenured on the stage right here. This is Bob and Betsy Minor, married 52 years. Yeah. Okay. Look at this. Look at this picture of the Miners on their wedding day. You guys look the same. I can't believe it. This is amazing. Okay, and then next up to my left and to your right, we have Ron and Denise Navarro, married 37 years. Give them a round of applause. And to my immediate right, we have Greg and Heather Muncie. They are a blended family. How many people ever come from a blended family? Like I came from a product of divorce. Let's hear from you. Blended family. It's a big number of people here. They've been married 18 years. And one fun fact about Greg and Heather is they both work here. That's pretty cool. And Greg is normally the producer of the services. And so he's normally in that back booth with a headset on, making all the calls, the camera, stuff like that. And so you have no idea how much it took to pull him out of that booth and put him front and center on stage.
Twisted my arm.
And Heather also works here. She's our director of Connect here at CPC. And so let me just give you a little bit of structure for where we're going to go over the next 30 minutes or so. We're going to pool our questions into about 5 different categories. And so here's some framework that we're going to go through. We're going to look at dating and courtship. We're going to follow basically the flow of a relationship. Dating and courtship, we got some questions on that. Then conflict in marriage. We'll talk about the 5 big areas of conflict. You all know what those are, right? Money, sex, in-laws, kids, and communication. Everybody fights about the same thing. Then we're going to look at staying in love. Like, what are the things, what are the practices that we can do to stay in love based on your experiences? And then we're going to look at tragedies and transitions. Just how do you handle crises or loss in the midst of a marriage? And then the last category we're going to cover is how to divorce-proof your marriage and just how to keep that marriage strong. So for those of you who are going like, okay, this isn't a normal sermon, and you're right, it's not. But what I would encourage you with is just, this is what I've been praying for you, for the audience members and for those of you watching online right now. I have been praying that God would give you at least one huge takeaway from this time where you're going to sit there and go, this is God's word for me. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm watching online. This is why God brought me here to hear that right there. Okay? So just so you can get all those morsels, let's just dive right in. And we're going to start with you guys. You have the most experience. So we're coming right to you with the first question. Thinking back to when before you were married, how did you, and we'll start with you, Betsy, you can lead this off. How did you know that Bob was the one?
Okay, if you're in high school, I want you to listen up. Think about who's in your English class, because we sat in English together when we were seniors in high school. And I remember by then we were somewhat attracted to each other. We had been out on quite a few dates by then. And the more dates we went on, the more attracted we became toward each other. And there were so many things about him that I loved. And they were things that you can look at your friends now and think about. Is he kind to other people when you're in a restaurant? Is he nice to the waiter? Is he a gentleman when he comes to your house? Does he treat your little brothers and sisters well? Those are all things that you need to be thinking about when you start thinking about that person for the future.
Yeah. Did he pick up the check when he went out to dinner? That's
he did. Actually, they did that a lot more than you do now because it's just too expensive. So we dated like one-to-one a lot more than you all do now. I think you go out in groups a lot more, which is wonderful. But pay attention to those people that are in your groups. Mm-hmm. And you never know who the person is going to be that you might end up with someday.
And you guys dated for how long before you got
married? We dated for
5 years.
Five years. We went to college together.
Okay. And Bob, how'd you know when Betsy was the one for you? Was it just right away, or did it take you a while?
It was pretty quick. When we started to date, we had a lot of fun. Uh-huh. We enjoyed one another's company, and we enjoyed doing the same kind of things. We had good, cheap fun.
Yep.
And there was a lot of it. So when I think about it, we kind of came from the same mold, different families, but in terms of how we were raised, we had common values, and the more we had time together, the more I wanted to be with her. And I think it was a two-way street.
Fantastic. Let's swing over to the Navarros. How'd you guys know? Denise, we'll start with you. Who knew first, by the way? Who knew the other one was the one first? That's a bold move to say she knew about you first.
Go ahead, babe. Well,
you can start.
Go ahead, babe.
I met Ron in an Armenian church on New Year's Eve because my parents drug me there because they wouldn't let me go out with my own friends. And so I kind of came with an attitude, and I met the one person there that wasn't Armenian, and I married him. And so
the tall white guy.
But we met when I was 15 and a half, so we grew up together. We lived on opposite sides
high
of the bay.
High school sweethearts?
No, we didn't go to the same high school.
Oh, okay.
We were 30 miles apart, and you know, dating. Long distance dating back then was 30 miles, not out of state.
So when he drove across the San Mateo Bridge to come and visit me, I knew he really cared about me, and that speaks volumes, you know. So it was a very weekend kind of thing. We'd see each other on the weekends, and he'd occasionally come out on the weekdays. But we stayed together all the way through high school. He didn't marry me till I graduated college. So I lived at home until I moved out and married him. And as we were reflecting, I think, I've never lived by myself. I always have lived with someone. Wow. But for us, it was the right thing, and we've kind of grown up together.
Okay.
You know, when you meet in church, Tyler, the Lord brings you together in
church. It's a head start.
You don't want to argue with man.
It's a head start. All right, Muncies, let's swing over to you guys. Blended family, 18 years of marriage. How did you meet? How did you start dating? And how did you know each other was the one?
Yahoo Personals.
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yahoo Personals. Now, this was 20
online
years ago.
Online
dating.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They didn't have that almost 20 years ago. Yeah, so that was just weird.
It was really
trailblazers.
Yes.
It was. It was just weird.
We set the pace.
And I was not going to do that. I was very big on, you know what, I'm a Christian, and God is not going to find me a man through whatever that, internet thing is, that worldwide web thing is.
But you can click you were a Christian,
so,
right?
Yes. Yeah. So my profile was very clear that, I'm someone who is a Christian. My faith is very important to me. And then within the next 24 hours, I started getting all these terrible messages. I hated all of them. So I was deleting and deleting. And then it was one of those that I tried to cancel the profile, but they only uploaded every, midnight. Some of you guys understand that when they would only upload things at midnight, and the last text message I got, or it was an instant message, was, "Hi, my name is Greg."
That was it.
18 years, we've been married.
That's awesome. That's a mini.
Literally, we got married 1 year, one day later.
One year, one day.
One year, and a day.
And you were like instant Brady Bunch, like that.
Brady Bunch is alive, by the way.
Two and two. Yeah.
That is not what step families look like at all.
Yeah. We'll get to step parenting in just a little bit. Okay, let's think back to, we'll go back to the minors now. Let's think back to the early years of marriage. What was like the biggest surprise from your early years of marriage?
We were talking about this this afternoon, which was really funny. And I remember we were probably married a week, maybe. And I had just cooked dinner and had everything. I was cleaning it up. And I said, okay, Bob, it's time for you to take out the trash. And he looked at me and he said, what's wrong with you? You've got two legs and two arms. But my dad always took out the trash, you know? And I just wasn't thinking about that. Yeah. I just assumed that would be his role.
Why is that common? Yeah. It was the same with us, too. Really? I was like, aren't you going to do that?
It changed quickly.
Yeah, I bet. You were a quick learner.
For me as well.
And the other thing was, we had separate checkbooks when we first got married, and then we ended up with a dual checking account. But anyway, I remember I used to balance my checkbook to the nearest $5. It just wasn't really important to me, and that is not him. He would stay up all night to balance it to the penny.
Yes.
So
okay.
Those were kind of two different things, but kind of you just saw there were different things.
Right.
Even though we'd known each other for 5 years, there were shocking things that
early surprises.
Started.
How about for the Muncies? An early surprise. You think back to when you were first.
Oh, early surprise.
We had a joint checking account for a very little while, and then we split it up because that was not working. So
that was not.
We still have separate accounts.
Okay.
I can see his and take money from his, but he can't see mine.
That's the best
time.
That's
the best time. That's the best way to work it out.
Guys, carry cash. That's
all right.
Exactly.
Surprise. For the Navarros, biggest surprise early years of marriage?
I'm going to take a stab at this one. I think the biggest surprise, ours didn't, to me, that I recall, didn't happen right away. In fact, we were talking about today, and I think the biggest surprise was that we didn't have to agree on everything. And that hit at about the seventh year mark. That was one of the big...
You did not have to agree on everything.
It's like that seven-year thing that they talk about. I don't know what we had a disagreement about.
Disagreement about it. And I said, can we just leave it? It's not
important. Hold on a second.
Just a disagreement.
Let's talk about that fight.
No, I said a debate.
It was a debate. Okay, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Because we have a whole section on fighting in just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sitting in the car.
All right, last question of this section. If you could give one piece of advice to some of the students or the single crowd that are in this room from before you were married, thinking back to before you were married, what would that piece of advice be? We'll stay right here with the Navarros. Yeah.
I think... do what you love to do, and look who's doing it alongside of you.
Okay.
You know?
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it over here. Piece of advice from...
Yeah, from my point of view, don't jump into anything.
Yeah, that's it.
Because you're talking about a long-term commitment.
Okay.
And
that's
you better
Ron
be
waited
sure.
7 years.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that when you get to the point where you're feeling led to do that, look harder. And when I say that, look at yourself as well as your partner, so that there's hopefully no big surprises if you decide to move forward with marriage. And that was one of the biggest things we had going. We knew one another so well, there weren't any big surprises. We were looking forward to it. We
besides
waited
your
long.
Trash.
Except the garbage.
Except your garbage.
And the checkbook.
I learned about that.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. That was quickly. Okay, yeah. How about you guys?
Well, I would say... you're not always right.
Oh.
Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? You're not always right. There you go. You got to learn that quick.
That goes all the way around, I think.
Yes.
That's a tough one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got one more before we transition?
It was geared toward young people, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it would be that if you define something that's important to you, hold the line and stick, hold your boundaries or hold to what you believe or what you value a lot. That's what I would recommend.
Okay.
And
all right, let's talk about conflict. You guys want to talk about fighting, conflict, and resolution? Hello? You want to? Yeah. Let's get down into the nitty-gritty here. I mentioned the big fives: money, sex, in-laws, kids, and communication. These are kind of the five big areas that people tend to fight with. And let's just you said something. We met on Wednesday to go over some of these questions this week, and you guys said one of the things that you do a lot, actually, is fight. You get into conflict, and you work it out, and it's actually one of the strengths of your marriage. So what things, if I just can just dive right in, what things do you fight about the most?
It's true. I told Tyler that we are the best at conflict resolution. We've got that nailed.
You want to be right, or do you want to be married? Sorry.
I think it's really important to remember that when you have an argument, that should never be the end. It's never a, well, I've had it, and you storm out the door. It's just, it's a disagreement. It's just what you do, and you figure out how to argue. You figure out where you're going to land, and then you just, you know, what's for dinner? I don't know. And move along, because you can destroy things just because you can't figure out that it's okay to disagree and okay to have an argument.
But what's a big one? What's a big one that you find? She knows.
Yeah. Well, we just talked about this, I think, yesterday. Communication is something that's really tricky for us, and I'm a huge believer in communication, and I'm a very wordy person. And he's not. He'll come in the room, and he's halfway through the story, and he starts, and I'm, like, trying to catch up, and I can't figure out, and we go round and round and round, because I have no idea what he wants me to know, and he doesn't want to use any more words. He just wants me to figure it out, and I'm frustrated, because I have no idea what we're talking about, and we just end up walking out of the room and going, well, I don't know what that was about. We don't speak the same language.
That is, yes, but, you know, it also, one of the biggest things, because of a blended family, was children.
Yes.
You're always, you're going to fight because of your kids. And you take your kids, you take their side.
Right.
And that's a hard, you have to really recognize
blood
when.
Blood is thicker than water. Yeah, you have
you
this
have to recognize
natural
when
alignment.
You're doing that. Because
yeah, the role of a step-parent is like the hardest role.
It's hard. You, as the step-parent, you don't discipline your stepchild.
No.
You let the parent. Yep. Discipline their stepchild. Now you back
the
them
cop.
Up, and you encourage the parent. And sometimes you can actually be, I will say it this way, the savior. If the child is doing mm-hmm. something like, you know,
yeah.
it's great for a dad. You come in and kind of save the day. But that's
and I
always
get to be the bad cop.
Yeah, bad cop, good cop. But that is one that's always been a struggle, because at the end of the day, when the kids move out, it's just us.
That's right.
Which is
along.
Great now. I mean, the kids are all out, so
yeah.
we're together all the time, and I love it.
Yeah, you are. They said last week, they're all, we went on 4 dates in the last week. I'm like, 4 dates in 1 week. That's amazing.
Someday you'll be an empty nester.
That's unheard
of. I think we like each other.
All right, let's go to the minors. What do you fight about? What do you guys fight about?
We were kind of like the Navarres.
Bob, Betsy is so agreeable. Do you fight with her?
You know what? We do have our moments.
We do.
And, yeah, and when I think about it, there are clearly some things that are not worth fighting about. Mm-hmm. And when that you begin to have that feeling, it surfaces, calm down, wait, and address it later. You're probably going to address it whether you want to, but at the same time, there are some things that you're just not going to easily resolve. And that's okay. It comes back.
I think earlier in our marriage, one of the biggest disagreements was over time. He would travel a lot, and then when he would get home on Friday evening, he was ready to be home. And I had been home all week, and I was ready to go. And that was something we really had to work out.
Yeah.
So for us, we were talking about this today. What do we argue about? It's not a given topic, or you know, it's not about sex, it's not about kids. It's how we have conversed about all those topics, and what it really boils down to most often is communication. Mm-hmm. And it's
even wanting to be right.
Even drilling down further, it's about trying to prove your point, or me trying to prove how I came about to a decision, trying to persuade her to my side of thinking, and. Whether or not you are like me, where I have to work it over and over and over, and she can be rather quick to make a decision. So that's what elevates the tension in our house from time to time.
I agree that is, and one of the things I have learned, because it's easy for me to just walk away and say, no, I'm not going to deal with it. It'll be fine. But now I say, you know, can we set up a time to talk about this? And now we set up a time and we talk about it. And if I think it's something that's going to be a heated argument, we go to Starbucks and talk about it so we can't yell at each other.
Yeah, it's accountability.
That's
there.
Absolutely right.
That's a great idea.
That's exactly right.
Oh, so smart.
That's going to come a little
That could be my takeaway from this whole
that's
thing.
That's a nugget to write down right now.
That is
you
so
don't,
good.
If you're going to have a heated, if you think you're going to have a heated, go somewhere else in public.
And that goes with anybody. You can be talking to a sibling and do the same thing.
Go further than Starbucks. Go to a, we were just talking to somebody, go to a restaurant and order your meal.
Stay.
Because you got to stay, otherwise you're going to walk away from something if you just, you know, your
That's
bill's
good.
Coming.
That's
we
good.
Used to go out to breakfast together all the time, and the servers were afraid to come to our table. Cause
but you just get into it.
But that is how we got through years and years of figuring out how to blend our families. We'd go to breakfast
That's
together
great.
And just...
Okay, let me ask you one more question about fighting, because I think this is important. Have you, because... People think, okay, 52 years, 18 years, 37 years, you just see eye to eye on everything, and that's just not the way that it goes. But on this panel right now, 124, if you count my 18, am I allowed to count my marriage years too, by the way? Yes? That's 124 years total right here. And so have you all learned of some things that you just won't fight about? You just won't go there, you won't use certain words, you won't use, it's just how do you fight?
We never name call. Yeah. We never threaten to leave. We never threaten divorce. No. Those and we
All
never
off the
even
table.
And we never have talked about that as ground rules. It just never happened.
Okay.
It never happens.
I was going to say conflict is not bad. When you think about it, it's a time to be creative in terms of working through, coming up with solutions. So when I think about it, it's an opportunity. You may not like it while you're going through it, but at the same time, when you look backwards. It just builds more, I think, depth to your relationship.
I like that opportunity.
That's great. All right, I have a question about in-laws. We have to talk about in-laws. How did you, does anybody have a story of how they learned to deal with problematic in-laws? Because in-laws are a real thing that kind of threaten marriages. Who wants to go? How do you keep in-laws from becoming outlaws? Let's put it a different way.
We didn't really have any problems with in-laws. We got along great. And when I think about it, we had been away from home, so we had a life that was our life, and we always enjoyed getting together with family, but I never felt pressure from them. Okay. I felt enjoyment being together, but in-laws were not a problem for us. Either way, either Betsy's mom, who was still living, or my parents. So that was not a bad thing. It was a good thing.
Let me take a... And if someone wants to answer that one too, but let me take a different side of the in-law. How do you, as an in-law, because you guys have kids who are, how do you, as an in-law, avoid becoming like that in-law that accidentally sabotages one of your kids' marriages?
I think we make a point of loving our daughter-in-laws. We have two sons, so we love our daughter-in-laws like they're our daughters. Yeah. And we are so thankful for them. We tell them that all the time. I have great daughter-in-laws, so it's really easy. But I encourage people, even that don't, you know, find something really positive and encourage them. And the same thing comes around. They'll do the same thing to me. And so my daughter-in-law sent me a text one day and said, you know, my friends are all bashing their mother-in-laws and I have nothing to add. And she sent me a text to tell me that. And I said,
that's pretty cool.
That was really cool. Yeah. And so I need to remember to do that too for her. And we need to build them up all the time.
Betsy, thank you.
Our son is divorced, and I remember after they divorced, our daughter-in-law was visiting, and we happened to go to the gym together, and the person who was leading our class asked me who this was, and I said, well, this is my daughter, my former daughter-in-law, or my ex-daughter-in-law, or something, I said it to that degree, and then I was able to say in front of her, my son divorced her, but I've never divorced her, and
nice.
I won't divorce her.
Nice.
She'll be, she's my granddaughter's mother, and she'll always be special to me,
nice.
And so that was one way we handled that. We have children sitting in the front row here, too, and I remember when our daughter was in junior high school, she...
This is Jamie Westgate, the principal of San Ramon Valley Christian Academy, sitting right here.
She said to me one day, Mom, please don't chaperone the dance. And I knew that right then, that she was able to set her own boundaries. And I feel like you know, if she ever needed to set those boundaries, she could come to me very easily and mm-hmm. tell me how she feels.
That's great. All right, let's go into this next phase of staying in love. What are one or two things in your mind that have allowed you simply to stay in love with your spouse over the years? Like, it's this and it's this. This is why we're still in love.
You talk about, I hear so often you have a date night once a week or something. We heard that years ago here at the church, and we support that. But we go out pretty often, and we'll either chuckle and say, that's our date, check mark. But it's just having time carved out.
Has it been like that your
pretty
whole
Pretty much
life?
The whole time, yeah.
Really?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And sometimes, back to Starbucks, when our kids were teenagers, we just had a coffee date at Starbucks at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to talk about them, because we couldn't do it at the house, and we would go sit down there and chat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we use Starbucks a lot.
One thing to maybe add on top of that, I think spontaneity. We do a lot of that, too. And a lot of it's spur of the moment. We're not making big plans. We're just doing it because we have the opportunity to do that. So, to me, that's a strike while the iron is hot, and you'd be amazed at the good things that happen out of those spontaneous kind of opportunities.
And for us, you know, we travel, we're blessed enough to travel quite often, so those are things that build into our relationship for keeping ourselves lively. So to speak.
You guys want to answer that? One or two things? Like, these are like the...
Well, I think the biggest thing that reminds us that being married is so important. If you're going to fight for anything, fight for your marriage. Because us coming from divorce and as a blended family, it breaks my heart when I see young adults. They're in their 30s. They're married. They've got a career now. They've got kids now. And they're just overwhelmed. Life is just huge. And so they start arguing. And as a result, they think that they got to get a divorce because they just argue all the time. And the truth of it is they're just overwhelmed with life. And I find myself wanting to say to them, oh, fine, go ahead, get those divorce papers. And then in about 6 months, your spouse's new boyfriend or girlfriend is going to pick up your child from softball. You okay with that? And it just, they got to remember that it's so important that you stay together, because it's actually a whole lot harder when you split up. So fight for what's important. You fight for your marriage. And if it's counseling, we went to counseling for a good year and a half.
You mentioned on Wednesday that you had a season where you were overwhelmed and counseling played a huge role.
Absolutely. And it's not a quick fix. I mean, people want it to be like, you know, AAA. You get a flat tire and you call them. They come in and fix and then you move along. But the truth of it is counseling is a long trip. But it's worth the investment, it's worth the fact that it gets harder before it gets easier, because we are so much better on the other side of counseling
right.
than we are
before.
Right,
and it's actually something we did three different times within the 18 years. And it's I actually anticipate we'll need it again. It's maintenance. Yeah. It's not just, hey, I need to call you right now, Pastor. Hey, come over, spend 20 minutes with us, and leave, and we're good. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. The sad thing about counseling, and I say this, the sad thing is it comes with a stigmatism to it. Rather than it being a positive promotion and encouragement to others, people don't share that they're doing counseling, mm-hmm. perhaps, you know, when there's it's a great, great thing.
Oh, it is.
No, I was just going to say one of the things I use as a counselor is my Bible. And I know it sounds like it's the church answer, but it's really the truth. And I grab my Bible
Amen.
And I go to the concordance and I look up whatever I'm struggling with and read, and that really helps. So
she just looks up the word husband and
perfection.
Well, I had a mentor one time at my last church who said it's really, really hard to be right with God and be wrong with your spouse. If you're right with God, you tend to be right with your spouse.
And you just picked up on you just mentioned a key word, a mentor. For many years, many of you know Frank Dilling, who passed away in recent years. He was a mentor that poured into me for, at least 10 years. So, prayerfully over many years, I prayed for an older gentleman that I could come up alongside, or he can come up alongside of me. But a mentor is someone that can offer you the counseling. So there's different ways to accomplish it.
I have a question about parenting. How did you guys go through those years where you were trying to balance work, kids, scheduling, maybe differences in parenting styles or discipline styles? How did you all navigate through those really, really busy seasons of your life? Bob, you want to go?
Yeah, when I think about it, I wasn't going a lot. So Betsy was kind of taking care of the home front. And I had total trust. I knew that things were handled well. We always went out for lunch on Saturday to catch up what happened. But when I think about that, I was probably more the disciplinarian. Betsy was the, you can tell by looking at her, she's a warm, caring person. And she was the one that really provided the soft touch for our kids. But we both had a role, and we always supported one another, whatever came up. Mm-hmm. So those were different roles, but at the same time, we were together.
What you guys?
He was definitely the disciplinarian. Yeah.
I would say it's prioritization and time management.
Okay.
I had two jobs for 30 years, two jobs run simultaneously, full-time, obviously, for many healthcare organizations, and I had my own part-time business for 30-plus years. And to balance that with family, and then back in 93, I went back to school at night. First class, first teacher, as a returning adult over here at St. Mary's, he said, you know, out of your clusters, so many of you are going to drop by the wayside, and your success is going to be your ability to do time management. Mm-hmm. So during those 2 years of night school, you know, I came home at 6 o'clock or whatever the time was, and to 8, we had actually higher quality of time with the family and the kids.
Always dinner together.
8:30 into the den and study till midnight. And she'd go to bed or whatever, unless I heard her screaming at the Warriors and I would come back in. but it was about prioritization and time management. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you guys? Blended family, different discipline styles perhaps, and needs?
I had a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old when we got married. So. They were already on the, teenagers, stick their heels in the ground. And her two little ones were?
3 and 7.
Yeah. Bethany's 3, well, she was 3 and 7.
Yeah, so, I was not at all equipped for teenagers. I didn't know what I was doing.
It was interesting. So, that's where the whole balance of disciplining, you have to really let the parent discipline their child. And you support your spouse in those decisions, so it's a rough one.
Well, one of the reasons that it's so funny that he and I have been working together for a lot of years now, we work somewhat side by side or in the same place, and God keeps doing that, but it started with the idea of when I would get upset that he wasn't home very often, I found a way to be where he was. So he was doing production at a church, and suddenly I was volunteering for everything at church with the kids so we could all be with him. And it was just funny how I just found a way to be with him more. So
I heard someone say one time that a marriage consists of the culture you live in, the conflicts you live with, and the crises you live through. Let's talk about the crises that some of you have lived through. What's the hardest thing you've ever had to go through? And how'd you get through it?
So, without a doubt, I don't talk about this too much, but about 10 years ago, we came back, of all places, from the Holy Land on a nice church trip, and I walk in at work, and shortly thereafter, I find out I'm being sued at work. And quite a sizable lawsuit against myself and the employer at the time. And I got to tell you, for the next 8 years in court, all the way to trial, two different cases, come out victorious. But over 8 years, and I got to say it again, thank God we came out victorious. But the toughest time of my life. That said, we both know that because of that time in our life, it absolutely brought us closer together. It brought us way closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of praying.
A lot of praying and a lot of resources.
And a lot of tapping into our close friends to pray for
prayer
us.
Warriors,
because
big time.
Sometimes we didn't quite honestly know what to pray. You're so frustrated. So
that's our big crisis in life.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. How about you guys?
I think children's health. We've had several issues with children's health. Our son was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis that was very serious, and so he's dealt with that, and our son-in-law's dealt with difficulty with just, what would you say, Mark, spinal issues.
And heart issues.
And heart. And the same with a granddaughter, and so issues like that can be very difficult to go through. Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of prayer when you have those.
Where did you draw strength during those seasons?
Definitely prayer, no question.
Yeah, one of the things, Jamie had an issue with turned out to be a tumor in her jaw. And it was one of those things I think we both came to realize we have no control over anything. Hmm. So you had to give it up.
Yeah, very humbling.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was scary because for a while we didn't know how serious that would be.
Yeah.
And it all turned out well.
Mm-hmm. Muncie's, how about you? Hardest thing you ever had to go through?
It was really difficult to try to figure out how to, you know, raise a step family. But I'd say then both of my parents within a 3-year period got very, very ill and passed away. And it was strange how my relationship with Greg changed after that. You know, nobody loves you like your mom and your dad do. And so I suddenly felt like an orphan. It's an odd feeling. And so I turned to him in a very different and deep way. And I still remember one day he did something that really upset me or whatever. And I looked at him, I said, "You gotta understand, I need you so bad now that you just can't even mess with my emotions because I need you, I need you more than I ever did before." And he goes, "I got it, I'll step up. I appreciate that because I do.
Thank you for that. How has your faith impacted your marriage, and how has your marriage impacted your faith? It's kind of a two-part question.
I think as we've gone through change, we had a couple moves and what have you. They were big moves. Certainly prayer, trying to get some help to make sure we're doing something that's appropriate and fits into his plan. And the other part of that, too, I think for our marriage, I felt like God was involved from the get-go. I think he put us together. I think he kept us together. Mm-hmm. And he's been part of our life all along.
Okay. How about you guys?
So, you know, when we got married, I did the teen club through the Catholic Church growing up, so I had faith in my life, and so did she. But in our early years of marriage, it wasn't there, really. I mean, we were the
relationship wasn't
the
there.
The relationship wasn't there. It was just the holiday, you know, attendance thing and all that. But, you know, seeing our kids involved with the youth, the preschool programs and things like that here, it just drawed us in. And we could just see the difference being part of the community of a church was impacting in our family. In fact, impacting our two sons.
You both mentioned that the children and student ministry programs here at this church drew you here 25 and 35 years ago.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and now I think how our faith. The second part of the question was how our.
How your marriage has been impacted by your faith.
Yeah, so
I'm sorry,
I think,
sir, how your faith has been impacted by your marriage. Does that make sense?
Okay.
And the reason I ask that question is marriage is the picture of the gospel relationship in Scripture. Yeah. You know, as the husband pursues and sacrifices for his husband, for his wife, that's the picture of the gospel. Jesus,
absolutely,
you know, pursuing his church. That's us. So.
Yeah. I think I can sometimes pray with my husband and tell God what I need easier than I can talk to him and tell him. Mm. So sometimes prayer can be the most intimate thing we do, and I can actually share easier.
Yes.
Right.
For me, I'm not the one that's the easier to share. So for me, praying together once we figured that out was good.
We tried praying. Well, we both are, you know, have a really good prayer life over the many, many years. And then we tried praying together many years ago, and it started out really well. And then she said, "I talk too much." So.
So
we literally stopped. We literally stopped praying together. And then, you know, through the encouragement of the church, individuals, whatever, we tried it. And now, for the last several years, we pray again at night.
But we have parameters now.
It's parameters.
What we're going to pray about.
But it's still probably definitely one of the more intimate times of our relationship now.
How important is friendship in your marriage?
This is my best friend.
This is my friend.
This is my best friend.
This is my best friend.
Yes, big time.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's kind of a secret right there. All right, we're going to wrap up here. We've got a couple of minutes left. Here's the last question. You're going to have the opportunity to encourage and speak into the lives of thousands of people this weekend, just people that are in here, in this room, here, and tomorrow through the two services, those watching online. usually between 500 and 600 people a weekend watching online. And so my question to you is, with one chance to give an encouragement, like, what's the one thing? Remember that scene from City Slickers where Billy Crystal and Curly Jack Palance are out walking? Hey, what's the secret to life? And he says, the secret to life is this. He says, the secret to life is your finger? No, the secret to life is one thing. He said, what's the one thing? He said, you have to figure that out. So for you guys, what is the one thing that you have figured out? This is the secret to having a healthy, enduring marriage. How would you answer that?
I want to take two things.
Oh, wow. Okay. As the elder statesman on the panel, you're entitled to
He gets two, we get three. Yes.
I think little things mean a lot. Okay. So when you think about complimenting, appreciating, and make sure she knows, that's cement.
Yes.
Ties the relationship together.
Okay.
And the other thing is, don't put your marriage on automatic pilot. You have to continue to work it. You have to continue to invest, and it'll come back to you.
Okay. Thank you. Muncie's, what's the one thing?
For me, it's trusting her.
Okay.
No, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt she has my back. She has my back. There's been times I've been, you know, struggling with, you know, work or different things, and I'll hear her at certain times of the night. She'll be praying for me, praying over me. So that is important. I know she's got my back more than anybody.
Betsy, I didn't mean to skip over you. What's the one? I'm not skipping over you. For the one thing, I want to hear this.
Yeah. I want to hear this,
and so
too.
So do they.
You know, that there are just so many things. It's just hard for me to even narrow it down, but I would say we love because he first loved us.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
Heather, how about you? What's the one thing for you?
My mom used to tell me, tell your husband his strengths and tell God his weaknesses.
Nice.
I've always worked on that.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, Navarro, we'll wrap up with you.
I'm gonna let Denise go last. But I'm gonna say a phrase that we were practicing before we heard it about 11 years ago, but fight for the bottom. At a wedding, one of the toasts from the father to the couple was, he wanted to challenge them to fight for the bottom, and we're looking, we're saying, what does he mean by that? And he went on to explain it as to outdo the other in terms of servitude to the other. And so, you know, the Bible in Philippians 2 talks about that, you know, so servitude.
Thank you.
And working hard. Marriage is hard, and it's worth every bit of it. So we've talked about divorce not being an option. Work hard at your marriage. Work hard. It's not always easy. The easy way is sometimes being by yourself, but the rewards are worth it. So work hard.
You guys appreciate the wisdom from our panel here tonight? Can you stand with me? Let's stand and pray, and we'll be on our way here tonight. Would you join me in a closing prayer? Just as a takeaway, if some of you heard tonight, gosh, we really benefited from counseling. You can go online at Community Presbyterian Counseling Center. Our church's counseling center, CPCC, is an incredible resource. And also, Ron and Denise are two of about a dozen different couples that are marriage mentors in our church. And so they've been trained, and they walk and journey with younger couples through early seasons of marriage, and they share from their highs, their lows, from their triumphs, from their failures, and it's an incredible curriculum and process, and they've been trained, and many of them are praying. Are you journeying with a couple right now? Yeah, you are. Okay. They're currently booked, but there are other great couples. What you just said, Denise, and we'll close with this, reminds me of the second scripture that's on the back of the notes, and it says Philippians 2, 1 through 5. It says, therefore, if any of you have encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any tenderness, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That's fighting for the bottom right there. Not looking to your own interests, but also to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to learn from people who have journeyed long in the covenant of marriage. We thank you for the gift of marriage. Father, it's a covenant. It's the only covenant relationship in all of Scripture that you liken to your covenant with us. It's unique. It's unbreakable. It's special. It's forever. And so we thank you for what we've learned. We pray your blessing over the Miners, over Bob and Betsy. We pray your blessing over the Muncies, Greg and Heather. And we pray your blessing over Ron and Denise Navarro, Lord. And we thank you for their willingness to share their struggles, to share the things that they've learned, to share the successes that you have given them. And God, I pray for each person, young and old, in this room and watching online, that we got at least one thing to take away and say, that's my thing to apply. That's the gift that God gave me through this panel discussion tonight. Give us the humility to receive that. Give us the courage to apply it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.